Hi everyone, welcome and welcome back to Real Recovery. If you're new here, this is a podcast where I talk about anorexia recovery and I use my own experience to give you guys practical tips and advice. I'm not a medical professional, so please don't treat any of this as medical advice. But yeah, let's get into today's episode. So the goal here, right, is to make three parts to this topic. I'm going to be talking about identity as a whole, and I'm separating it into three different episodes. So the first episode is going to be today. It's going to be all about leaving behind the anorexic identity. It's kind of, obviously that's quite simplistic, but we'll break it down. And then the second episode is going to be all about building a recovery identity. And then the third episode is going to be basically about moving on from the whole eating disorder and stepping into a sort of identity that it's completely separate, and it's basically you and your true self, and it's going to be about how you can move your life on from your mental health struggles and stuff. So I hope this kind of three-parter series of episodes is going to be helpful for you. I'm going to be bringing my own experience into it. Obviously not everything I say is going to relate to you, but I think that as a whole this topic is probably quite relevant to everyone suffering. And I think that when it came to my recovery, building a new identity and sort of stepping away from the anorexia identity is basically what kind of pushed me into recovery, and it's what made my life a lot easier. So I want to share with you guys today how I did that and what helped me. I have to give a special thank you to a listener who sort of prompted this by sending me an email, and I responded to it. And as I was writing out my response, I thought, well, this could probably help other people as well. I can see how this would help other people since I've had requests similar to it in the past. So yeah, I think I just want to make this sort of series about identity, and I hope it helps you. And if it does, please remember to rate and review the podcast and do all that good stuff. Thank you so much to everyone who already has. But yeah, if you haven't, please do it, because it really, really helps. It basically helps all the algorithms on these apps push it out to more people, which is obviously the aim of the game here, is to get more people to listen, and hopefully this podcast can help people. So yeah, anyway, let's get into today's episode. So I think it's important to talk about what I mean by identity. For me, it's basically what views and what values and what beliefs do you hold about yourself? So if you're talking about identity when it comes to other things, maybe like smoking, for example, it's probably quite a good parallel to draw. If someone's trying to quit smoking but they identify as a smoker, then all of their actions and their beliefs are going to align with that identity of being a smoker. So they're going to think, okay, well, you know, what do I do when I need to de-stress? Oh, okay, well, I'm a smoker, so I smoke a cigarette. It's like, if they identify then as someone who doesn't smoke a cigarette, I know this is kind of oversimplifying it, but it's basically like, once you identify something, your actions and your beliefs sort of fall into line with that. And it works the other way around as well, right? If you change your actions and you change your beliefs, then you change your identity. And I think doing them both hand in hand can be really helpful. The thing about changing your identity is that often, yes, it requires action and, you know, repetition and practice almost to make that become natural and make your actions align with what you want. But at the same time, it's also something you can kind of do instantly, in the sense that you can decide whenever you want that you are no longer identifying as an anorexic person, which is basically what I did. And I'm not saying it worked overnight, but I'm saying the decision to do that was something that you can implement very quickly. Whereas other things like rewiring your fear of weight gain or something, that's something that you have to be very patient with, and you have to kind of repeat and repeat and repeat. Whereas making a sort of identity shift, it kind of happens in larger steps, at least for me it did anyway. So I think that in a way that's kind of good. Now, I don't want to make this episode too similar to my previous episode about letting go of anorexia, because ultimately that was about the mindset shift. So now I want to talk about, in this episode, it's more about weakening that anorexic identity. And it's basically, it's just small things that you can do every day that sort of chip away at that image you have of yourself as an anorexic person, because ultimately that's very harmful, right, when you're in recovery, if your brain and your self-perception is completely centered around the fact that you are, in quotes, anorexic. Then everything that you try and do in recovery, which is basically having to go against all of that, you're going to feel like a failure, and you're going to feel like you're doing something incredibly, incredibly wrong. But that's because you identify as anorexic. So if you're someone who identifies as anorexic, then you're going to find it very difficult to eat in front of other people because you're going to be constantly thinking, well, I'm anorexic. How can I possibly be doing this? They're going to think that I'm not, that I'm lying, that I'm blah, 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 blah. So I think removing that part of your like self-perception is so helpful and so important. And it really did help me. It helped me lessen guilt and it helped me lessen shame. So when I was gaining weight, before I had realized that I identified as an anorexic, it's very difficult for me to gain weight, even to doctors and stuff. Like, I would be so ashamed. I'd be like, well, I can't possibly be gaining weight. Like, that means I'm failing at being an anorexic, which is just crazy to think about. But yeah, I think if you are identifying in that kind of way, realizing that you really don't have to, it's completely within your power to decide not to. So do you know what I mean? You kind of have to weaken that identity. And these are the things, I'm going to read off some things that I sent to this person who asked about this in an email. And these are all the things that really helped me to like chip away at that. So first of all, I think long-term planning and realizing that my future goals didn't really involve anorexia at all. So therefore I knew that it wasn't a true part of myself. It wasn't really part of my identity. It was kind of something that had like hijacked myself. Another thing you can do is write down a list of all the things you hate about being unwell and realize that this anorexic identity kind of keeps you trapped in a place that you really don't want to be, and it has so many negative consequences. Another thing you can do is write down a list of all your values. And I think this is kind of a wishy-washy like a piece of advice because I genuinely didn't know like what the hell's a value, but it's basically just like, if you think about what do you admire in other people, or when you were younger, what did you like take pride in? It's like parts of your personality that you take pride in and things that you look for in other people. So like your friends, for example, what do you think is good about them? Are they like really honest? Are they really courageous? Are they spontaneous? Whatever. Another thing you can do to find out your values is kind of a cheap method, but basically just Google it. Google like, what are my values quiz or something. And I think a bunch of them pop up. I'll try and link one in the show notes that I used, and it's basically like it takes you through all these like typical values, like, yeah, like honesty, I don't know, creativity, intelligence, all these things, and it will like narrow it down to your top five values or something, and doing that kind of makes you realize how opposite your true values are to your eating disorder values. So for me, I can't actually remember what my values were. It's probably not a good sign, but when I was doing this the first time, I literally realized that the values that anorexia had were the polar opposite of what the values that I truly had. So like, I really valued honesty, but like literally everything that anorexia did was make me lie and make me keep secrets and just hide from people and try and like hoodwink people. And so that was obviously the opposite of honesty. Obviously, another value that I had was friendship and relationships and stuff, but anorexia completely isolated me. Another value I had was like fun and spontaneity and just like being able to go with the flow and chill out a bit. But obviously anorexia literally turned me into like an anxious mess and really triggered, I suppose, my OCD, which to this day means that I am not able to do those fun, spontaneous things that I would want to do, which isn't great. But you know what I mean? Like, find your values and figure out why, like, how anorexia can subvert that and make that into something the complete opposite. And I think that sometimes that can help motivate you to recognize that your true self is in there and that this eating disorder is masking it and subverting it rather than you are your eating disorder, because you're not your eating disorder, you're your own person. Another thing you can do is, when it comes to like having this identity surrounding your eating disorder and that kind of being such a big part of your life, often it can mean that you end up sort of thinking about your eating disorder all day, talking about your eating disorder all day. It literally takes over your whole life. And obviously that's not like a weakness of your on your part. That's not your fault. It's just very often that's what happens. I remember for me, it's like literally every conversation I had with anyone was about my eating disorder. Appointments with doctors, dietitians, therapists, all of that kind of stuff. It's like, keep on going about anorexia, this, anorexia, that, food, this, food, that, weight, this, weight, that. And it was just very, like, all consuming. And the same thing with family. I mean, in the beginning of recovery, especially, no one really knew what they were doing. I kept having to explain things to people, how I was feeling, because my parents literally did not understand any of it. They just, obviously it's so difficult for family because it's like, you have literally no idea why your child or your partner or whatever is acting in this way. And I think the person suffering, for example, like when I was going through it, I really didn't understand it either, to be honest. And I think doing some research and having those conversations is obviously really important. But at the same time, I think when you want to step away from that anorexic identity, you can do that by deliberately changing the topic of conversation with people sometimes. So if you're catching up with your friends or something and they ask you how you are, obviously don't lie, but at the same time, keep it moving away from your eating disorder. I think sometimes we can just put too much focus on our eating disorder in conversation with people. And it makes a lot of sense because it is literally ruling your head most of the time. Like, I can completely relate and understand, but I think just making that effort is actually kind of nice. It is, it's almost like a relief, and it's like a break from the just endless sort of noise of having an eating disorder. So that's my advice, yeah. Another thing you can do to weaken this anorexic identity is honestly to remind yourself that so many people have eating disorders. Obviously, this is a very sad fact of the modern world, but there isn't actually anything remotely unique about having anorexia. There's nothing special about it. There's nothing interesting about it. It doesn't make you have any sort of credibility or value. You have that innately. You already have value and you already have personality and you already are unique and special. So I think focusing on that and realizing that literally millions of people have eating disorders, and even further than that, people's eating disorders are so similar. I know everyone, you know, recovers in different ways and they might struggle with different symptoms, but so many of these thoughts brought up by anorexia, these irrational beliefs, these behaviors, the rationale behind behaviors, it's just so similar. It's really eerie, actually. It's like we're all having the same thoughts and the same experience in so many ways. So I think realizing that there's literally nothing unique about your eating disorder and it doesn't make you a better person in any way is kind of helpful, because it's like you don't need to identify with it at all, because removing that, because basically it's like I've actually had some people talk about this to me in messages before. It's like they don't want to let go of anorexia and they don't want to give up that part of their identity because they think, well, who am I without it, sort of thing. And it's like, well, it gives them a sense of superiority or individuality and stuff. And I think just really like drill it home that the fact that so many people have eating disorders and so many people's eating disorders are like carbon copies of one another, and I think realizing that can help you to weaken that side of your identity. Anyway, my next point that can help you to weaken this anorexic identity is basically how it helped me, right? Is I always knew deep down that I could recover. I knew it was possible theoretically. I know that doesn't sound very fun, but it's like you have to believe in yourself. It sounds really silly, but you have to believe in yourself and you have to know that it is literally possible to recover. Like it can't not be. You can't have this side of you being like, okay, well, you know, you might not actually recover. I get that you might not know how, but you have to accept that it is a possibility. You have to accept the fact that there is a hypothetical world where you have recovered completely and you don't have any eating disorder anymore. And if you can accept that and entertain that idea, you can move towards it. And I think that took away some of the fear of letting go of anorexia. I could truly believe that there was a life that I'd be able to live where I would have healthier coping skills, better self-esteem, and I wouldn't need my eating disorder. And just entertaining that thought, it just helps you be like, okay, well, if that is actually possible, then I am able to let go of this anorexic identity without fear, because I know that what's waiting for me is going to be okay. And that literally is a fact. You can't deny it. You have to believe in yourself and you have to move forward in that direction, and whatever your eating disorder says to convince you, okay, well, you're going to be the only person who can't recover, you're going to be this, that, and the other, you're always going to need me to cope, you're always going to have bad body image, so you're always going to need me to suppress your weight, or you're always going to feel out of control around food, so there's no point even trying to stop controlling it. I think you have to recognize those as lies, and you have to focus on the fact that you can actually entertain a future where you don't need your eating disorder at all, and you're completely okay, because you will be okay. It's not just blind faith either. It's just the fact that logically you can understand that brains are, you know, malleable. They change over time. Other people have recovered successfully. A lot of other people as well. And you're just as smart as they are. You can put in just as much effort as they can. And you have done hard things in your life. This isn't impossible. It's just very difficult. And sometimes it's about figuring out techniques and ways that work for you. But basically, yeah, recovery is possible for everyone. And it may be a long and hard process, but believe in yourself that you will actually get there. And then having that sort of visualized image of a future self where you are recovered can really, really help you break away from that anorexic identity, because it just removes the power it has. Okay, finally, I think a thing you can do to weaken this anorexic identity is similar to the stop talking about it so much point, but it's basically remove anything that influences your eating disorder on a daily basis. So if you're someone who spends a lot of time on social media and you follow like Instagram accounts, TikTok, anything like that that kind of fuels your eating disorder, maybe that's pictures of people who are very underweight, or maybe that's even just pictures or like videos, like what I eat in a day videos or something, and you think that that fuels your eating disorder in any way, honestly, just remove it from your life, because every single thing you do is going to reinforce some belief system that you have in your head. And if you want to stop reinforcing the belief system that you have to control your food, or you have to be underweight, or you have to lose weight, or you have to whatever your anorexia is sort of like operating within, you kind of have to remove everything that fuels it and remove everything that influences it, or at least to the best of your ability. So if you're friends with some people who have very disordered relationships with food, try and distance yourself a bit. If you, yeah, like spend a lot of time on kind of like toxic social media accounts and stuff, delete those accounts, like remove, block, whatever you have to do, delete the app even, it's the best advice. But basically, yeah, remove all those kind of influences on you, remove anything that fuels your eating disorder. If you're someone who body tracks a lot, or if you're someone who looks at pictures of your body and like analyzes and stuff, which is what I used to do, like I think it was related to some sort of OCD behavior, but I used to like repeat a lot of like body checks and have pictures of my body, which was very toxic and very unhelpful. So I think hiding those pictures, stopping body checking however you can, I will make a whole episode on that is coming out soon. But yeah, all of those things, the little habits you do on a daily basis that strengthen that anorexic identity, try and stop them as much as you can, try and remove them as much as you can. And to start that process, you can try and identify them, do an overhaul of your day sort of thing. Like think about, okay, like on a daily basis, what do I do? Like what steps do I take? Like do I do certain things in the morning? Do I body check in the morning? Okay, well, let me write that down and then go through your whole day and figure out everything you do that is kind of reinforcing your anorexic identity, and just try and eliminate as much as possible. But yeah, those are my tips for weakening that anorexic identity. This is the part one of the identity series. So obviously this alone isn't going to solve all your problems, but identifying so much with something that is literally trying to kill you and calling yourself an anorexic, or believing that that really is the only part of your personality, is so detrimental, and it probably won't help your recovery at all. And it's probably going to keep you trapped and keep you feeling guilty and keep you feeling like a failure when you have to go against all those behaviors and those beliefs. The kind of overarching piece of advice in this whole episode is actually to write stuff down and have it visible to you at all times. And this kind of sounds a bit extreme, but I will explain why. When you are you know, dealing with an eating disorder, this applies to everyone dealing with an eating disorder, whether you're underweight or not, whether you are in recovery or not. If you've gone through periods of starvation and malnutrition, your brain health is not going to be, you know, optimal. You're going to have cognitive problems, you're going to not be able to think as rationally, your memory's not going to be as good. And for me at least, and for many people listening, I can imagine, you're probably struggling with a lot of like brain fog. I remember in early recovery and all throughout my eating disorder, I just couldn't think. I just couldn't like retain thoughts in my head for very long. So what would happen, right, would be I would come to a conclusion, a sensible conclusion about like whatever. So I'd be like going through this process, writing down my values, like writing down why I don't want to have this identity of being an anorexic, reassuring myself and coming to like a reasonable conclusion. Like I would eventually get there, and I'd be thinking like a rational person, and I'd be like, okay, fine, like I don't identify as an anorexic anymore. And then literally within like 30 seconds, it would just fly out my head and anorexia would be back in there with the utter rubbish of like, you know the thoughts, right? And it wasn't my fault, and it wasn't just because I was like being stupid. It was just because my brain was not performing properly, because it was malnourished, and it was, yeah, I was dealing with anxiety issues. You know, other mental health issues also can impact your ability to think straight, right? And remember information. So write stuff down and have it visible to you, because what it does, it just reinforces, and then it ends up being part of your natural thought process. So you don't even have to keep on, you know, reinventing the wheel every single time you want to overcome a negative thought or reframe a thought or something. So to me now, I still have to do this. I still have to reinforce things to myself. I still have to go through, you know, different thought processes. I still have to reframe my thoughts, but it becomes a lot more automatic, a lot quicker. And usually those positive reinforcements can stay in my brain longer, just because of the fact that my cognition is better and my brain is fueled and it's actually working a bit better. So yeah, the point here is write stuff down, have it visible to you. When you're going through all these things and writing down like your future and your goals and your values and all these things, right, just stick them on your wall, or have them as your lock screen, or if you do journal, maybe read that page every day or something. But yeah, this is why I made my, if you don't know, I do sell stuff on my Etsy to do with recovery. This is why I made that pack of flashcards, because it was basically what got me through like the majority of recovery, just because of the fact that I would be asking my family these same questions every day, like, oh, like, am I eating too much, or blah, 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 do I look fat and stuff like that. Whereas I knew the answers and I could figure it out, but it's just exhausting to have to keep going through these same like journaling exercises every single day, like multiple times a day. So this is what I did, is I wrote, and you can do this yourself. You don't have to buy this from me. If you want, but you can do this yourself as well. Write down these common anorexic worries and thoughts that crop up every day. Like if you're someone who really struggles to deal with fullness after meal times, and every single time, and snacks, six times a day, however many times you need to eat a day, you have to deal with the same problem of like reassuring yourself, talking to yourself, no, you know, fullness passes, don't worry about it, no, you're not gaining weight from this, you're just full, no, don't worry, you're not going to explode, you haven't lost control. If you have to keep reassuring yourself the same things multiple times a day, just write it down. Honestly, it's quicker, isn't it? And it just, basically, yeah, the point here is write stuff down, have it visible to you at all times, because you really can't blame yourself for, you know, forgetting, for having anorexia creep back in 5 million times a day if your brain is malnourished in any kind of way or overrun by other kind of mental health issues. So my advice to you, write stuff down, have it visible. If you are a family member listening and you want to support a loved one going through this and helping them make the shift and letting go of that side of their identity that is ruled by their eating disorder, if you want to help them do this, my advice to you is to ask them, you know, what they are struggling with, what kind of cognitive distortions they have, you know, what kind of irrational thoughts they have, and ask them what they want to hear. Because often we, as people suffering, we know what is true, we know what is rational, we just genuinely need other people to reinforce that to us, because sometimes when you have an eating disorder, your kind of self-perception, your self-esteem is very, very low, and we don't take our own, like, we think that, oh, like, you know, everyone else deserves to eat, but not me. And having other people around me at least reinforce that and be like, no, you do need to eat. No, you're not losing control. No, you're not an anorexic. You are a person much, much more than that. And you don't need this to cope. And you will find a way. Having people just reassure me of things I already kind of knew, or at least I learned along the way. So I know now. But yeah, if you are supporting a loved one, I recommend you reinforce those things. Don't be afraid to repeat yourself a million times a day. And yeah. I hope this episode about, you know, weakening that anorexic identity has helped you. And if you want to, you know, listen to this little series I'm going to be doing, then stay tuned for the next part of this, part two, which will be about stepping into a recovery identity. Then, yeah, stay tuned for that. I don't know when it will be up. It might even be the same day. So if it is up and you are listening, then go ahead and listen to that one, because it's basically about what you can do next, because you don't just want to be left with no feeling of identity, no set of beliefs and values. So yeah, it's all very well weakening this side of yourself, but then you kind of want to, at the same time, be building up other parts of yourself to make the process easier. But anyway, I hope this has helped you. If you have enjoyed it, again, rate, review, all that kind of stuff. I hope you have a great week. And yeah, if you want to message me, go ahead and use the podcast Instagram. It will be linked below, or send me an email, whatever works for you. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you guys all...